Back down here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, it is a Patriots Monday here on The Big Show with Fred, with Steve. Joining us now, the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. Bill, how are you today?
Doing good, Glenn.
What shirt is
Steve,
this?
Steve, Fred, how are you doing, huh?
What is the shirt? Suffield?
Suffield, yeah. That's my son goes to school.
Nice.
Where's that at?
It's in Connecticut.
Oh, nice.
He gets free shirts out of the deal, though.
You know.
So. No, they're not free. No.
Nothing's free at those schools.
Now they are.
We know that.
Very expensive.
We know you can afford it. We'll double the price.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Right. I'm sure they tripled
for
it
you,
for
Bill,
you.
Yeah. So if you got a kid there, they know you can afford it.
Yeah.
All right, before we get to the Ravens, we haven't seen you since last week, and it was a very active week. Certainly kept us going for 4 hours every day, which was nice of you. We appreciate that.
Thanks,
but let's go to Charlie Casserly's report. We've had Charlie Casserly reports here before, and we've talked about him here on the show, but he's claiming there was some type of altercation between Brady and Moss that got to the point of you cut your beard off and you should cut your hair off and
you look like a girl.
Did any of this ever happen?
Yeah, it's news to me.
Have you talked to Brady or anybody? Wouldn't you know if something like that happened? Wouldn't somebody come up to you during the course of the day and say, hey, we had a problem here, Bill?
They had to be separated is what the report was.
Yeah. If somebody had to be separated. Yeah. I mean, when it happens here
again,
in the studio.
Again, it's news to me, so I.
You haven't heard?
No.
Okay. You said last week that it was pretty much a football decision. And correct me if I'm misquoting here, but you said it was a football decision in making the decision of trading away Randy Moss. And you've always said this, that you make decisions based on making this a better football team. How is this a better football team now than it was last week?
Well, as I said, I think you take a lot of things into consideration, and when you just put it all together, that's kind of where it came out. So complicated, long, but in the end, I just felt like that was the best thing to do.
How long was it in the works?
What's that?
The trade with Verini?
I don't know. You know, I never personally talked to them. So they had shown some interest a long time ago, and then it kind of came up a little more recently, and so we followed through on it.
With the acquisition of more talent offense, you're your tight ends, and you have Tate that's healthy, did that make it possible for this to happen as opposed to, you know, last year when you really were depleted? One of the areas you can throw, you have more guys to throw the ball to.
That might have been a little bit of a factor. Again, I think there was just a whole combination of things, you know, our team and some individuals and, you know, Randy's situation. And I have a good relationship with Randy, but just when the whole thing was put together and talking to him, I just, you know, felt like this is the way to go.
One of the things you had said, one thing you always say is when you get a guy here, football has to be very important to them. Did football become secondary to business to Randy, and that was one of the reasons why this happened?
No, I don't know if I would say that. I think football was important to him. He, you know, worked hard, didn't miss a practice all year. You know, had some good plays like he always does. No, I wouldn't say that.
After this deal was done, you had very complimentary things to say about Randy the other day, as you have already here today. Randy did the exact same thing, mentioning you, mentioning Brady, saying very complimentary things. I think it makes it very difficult for people to try to figure out why there is this divorce when both sides seem to like and respect each other. Are both sides better off right now in the position of where they are? Was this one of those that you can, after it's over, say, you know, we're probably both better off where we are?
I think we probably felt that as it happened. Yeah, my conversation with Randy on whatever it was, Wednesday morning. Yeah, I think my conversation with him, that's probably about where we were, is that this is in the end, this is probably going to work out better for all of us.
Is the team less talented offensively now with the absence of Randy, or is there someone you feel that will substitute for him, or a multitude of guys that will substitute for him?
Well, it's always about putting a team out there. So the 11 players that we put out there, I think we're going to be competitive. And we have a lot of different personnel groups and use people differently and so forth. But I think we'll be competitive.
Was there anything that we hadn't heard, or was there anything locker room-wise that expedited this or put this trade in motion? Or was it simply the team going in a different direction?
No. I don't think that there was – Randy hasn't been a discipline problem with me since he's been here. I mean, he's no. It's, that was no. He never was.
Effort issues on the field?
No.
Because the reason
he worked hard.
We asked that question also. His MO was, you know, going from Minnesota to the Raiders, and then the Raiders, of course, you know, his life was just about over there as far as football goes. You resurrected him. You, I mean, the team, the Patriots, came here. He appreciated you. He respected Brady. And after that 07 season, you rewarded him with a new contract, the $27 million contract. So it seems like the opposite happened. And it wasn't as productive. And we were trying to wonder, was it something that he was a distraction to the younger players?
No. No, it's good with young players.
It's a situation, obviously, that everybody's trying to figure out where it went wrong or why the decision was made. He made a couple of real public statements. One, he got up there for about 15 or 17 minutes after the Cincinnati game and basically talked about himself and the contract or whatever. He did it earlier, I believe in June, at a softball game or something like that. And at that time, he was pretty businesslike, saying, this is my last year. I understand what it's all about. He was a little bit different in the Cincinnati game. Did any of that play into the decision of, we just can't continue on here because he's getting too public with what's going on internally with the contract? Any of that bother you?
No. No, I really didn't think it was that big a deal.
Because it is unusual, your top receiver being traded this time of year when you just won three games in a row. So those questions remain. Why would you take one of the number one weapons or the number one deep threat off your team when there doesn't seem to be any discord between him and the team and him and yourself?
Well, we did it with another player earlier this year. I think that's, again, just sometimes you have to do what you feel is best for the football team, and that's what we did.
How do you deal from that point on with your team? Do you sit down and explain to your team? Do you just move on and that's it? It is what it is. How do you deal when it's such a public trade with obviously one of the better players on this team?
Same way we dealt with the trade with Lawrence a month ago.
Well, Lawrence wasn't in that. The category of Randy Moss. Did you sit them down prior to going out to practice?
I mean, I think every player is important on your team. I don't know. I mean, who's ranking them?
That's a good point. I guess we are. But does the team talk about it or just go to practice and line up?
Yeah, I think we addressed it. And just like we addressed the trade with Lawrence. And, you know, that's something that happened on the team. We addressed it and we moved on.
How much do you change up? I know you go week to week and you're going to game plan against Baltimore for what they're going to present defensively. But how do you change up this offense at all, knowing that he was a guy certainly that attracted attention out there, opened up some stuff for other people? Do you have to change this at all, Bill?
Well, again, we'll do what we do every week. We try to come up with the best game plan we can. I have the players prepare like they always do and hopefully go out there and perform well on Sunday. So it'd be the same as we do every week.
Can you still stretch the field the way Randy was able to stretch the field with the personnel you have?
Well, our job is going to go out there to score points, and that's what we do offensively. So however we do that, that's what we're going to try to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, you got a tough one coming up this week. They're pretty damn good. 2 weeks ago, people were wondering how they were going to score the ball. Apparently, they found a couple different ways they can do it, three different ways, running, throwing the football, and special teams. But they've been good the last couple of weeks. What problems do they present for you? Let's start with the defense because they've been better known as a defensive team. So let's start on the defensive side.
Well, they pretty much lead the league in every defensive statistic, points, yards passing, third down conversions. They're high in the red area. I mean, they do everything well. So they're solid all the way across the board, well coached. Good players. They're good up front. They're good linebackers. They're very instinctive, good in the secondary. They're a hard-hitting team. They're physical. So they do a lot of things well. They performed well. They've been consistent. They're tough.
So you're without Ed Reed, too, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's really just looks like the Ravens, but there's just a little something missing without Ed back there, which is it's a good thing. But
how have they tightened up in the last couple weeks? Because they seem like the defensive secondary has been better over the last couple weeks. Is it something that you're seeing specifically that they're doing without Reed?
Well, I mean, they give up a lot of yards to Denver throwing the ball now. So, I don't know about that. But, you know, look, they're good. I mean, they're not – they have problems just like everybody else does. You know, they give up some plays, and they've had trouble here and there. But overall, they're very consistent. I think that shows statistically. And they're a very good defensive football team. But you know, they've had their problems throughout the course of the season, just like we all have.
How much have they changed since last year in the playoff game?
They have a couple new faces, but overall, I'd say that their schemes are pretty much the same. You know, they've got a couple new faces on defense, a couple new faces on offense, and but they still try to, you know, do the same things. I mean, they're pretty well balanced, and they make you beat them. They're a good, sound, fundamental football team. They're well coached. They don't make a lot of mistakes, and you have to play a good football game against them. They're not gonna make a lot of bad plays to hand you the game.
Do you show them that playoff game, or do you wait to Halloween?
Well,
you obviously you do.
Yeah,
that.
No, I think we need to see it. We need to, you know, see what went wrong and what we need to do better, what we can't let happen again.
What did go wrong in that game? I mean, it seemed like everything.
Just about
that
everything.
Could,
yeah.
Just the strip sack and right off the bat, were they blitzing more in that game than usual?
No, I wouldn't say so. They're not a big blitzing team. I mean, they blitz some, but they're not a big blitzing team. They just play good, sound, fundamental defense, and you have to go out there and execute well against them. That's what it comes down to.
How similar to the jet scheme defensively? Are they still doing the same things they had when Ryan was there a couple years ago?
No, I'd say there's not much, not a whole lot of resemblance to the jet scheme. They're just different, you know, different coordinator, different scheme, and this definitely isn't the Jets.
They do have a tough front, though, tough front four in the
No, absolutely. They're good everywhere. They have good front four, good linebackers, good secondary. You know, they're a strong football team, no question about it.
How much has Flacco improved over the years as a quarterback?
You know, he had a pretty good rookie year. I mean, he's come in, he's played pretty solid throughout his career, and he looks solid now. I mean, it's not perfect, but you know, who is? So, but he does a good job. He has good receivers. You know, Bolden's definitely helped him. Obviously, Mason and Heap, and you know, the running backs. He doesn't mind getting the ball to them. So, you know, it's a solid group. TJ, you know, made big plays for him in the Cleveland game. So did Bolden. TJ against Pittsburgh, so they've all stepped up. Mason, like all those guys, Heap, they've all. Dixon had a big catch last week against Denver yesterday, so they have a lot of good receivers, a lot of weapons, and a good running game, good offensive line. Again, they're a well balanced team.
How are they using Bolden? They seem to use him in different spots out there.
Right, they play him in the slot. They play him in three receiver sets. They play him in the slot some, but not always. And then in two receiver sets, he's basically the Z, and Mason's the X. They do a lot of formationing. They move guys around. They give you a lot of different looks on offense, so you can kind of catch him anywhere, but basically he's the Z, strong side receiver, and plays a lot in the slot on third down.
Now they have a heck of a running game because they're mixed in. The Rice is a strong inside runner, and he can go outside.
He sure can. He's a threat every time he gets the ball. Screen passes, check downs, plays that – they try to get the ball down the field, and it's covered, and they drop it off to the back, and he's very dangerous. He's good on the inside runs, can bounce it out. It's good on the perimeter. He's a good football player.
Special teams now. I mean, last week, obviously, you had a tremendous day with special teams. How did special teams match up?
Good, good. We're very good specialists. I mean, they had like four or five touchbacks last week on kickoff, so that took care of the return game. They're big. They're physical. They're strong. Team, a lot of linebackers and a couple tight ends, running backs, but just they're a big, strong, physical special teams unit. And, you know, a lot of 230, 40, 50-pound kind of guys running down as opposed to, you know, wide receivers and DBs and that kind of thing. Not that they don't have a couple of those, but they're overall they're a bigger, stronger physical teams, special teams unit. And so that'll be the challenge this week.
Is the speed the same with those big guys?
No, they're not as fast overall as much team speed as some teams we've seen, but they make up for by being more physical and you know, being able to control their man physically as opposed to outrunning them or trying to run past them.
Your defense did a good job with turnovers last week against Miami. Is there a mindset or is there something you can do during the week to focus that, or is it just a matter of a lucky game or something like that?
Well, certainly part of it's opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't, offensively, if they don't take care of the ball or give us opportunities to get it. But I think the things that you can do defensively are just be aware of the ball and be aware of being able to strip it out or reading the quarterback and knowing where the receivers are located and getting closer to the ball. We've had our hands on quite a few balls this season, and both in fumbles and in interceptions or in pass breakups. more than we have been, I'd say, in the past couple of years. So you hope you can turn those into interceptions with good catches and good plays on the ball, which we've had a few of those this year too. So we definitely work on it every week. We do drills on it at the beginning of every practice, and we also specifically look at the players of the team that we're playing against and see which players are possibly a little apt or careless with their ball handling or ball security, and we make it a special point to emphasize that to our players so that hopefully there's an awareness in the game that they can see that ball away from the receiver or runner's body and be able to poke it out of there or where the patterns are going so that we can get a little better break on them and try to get a defender in the into the reception area of some of the passing game.
Is there a fine line between encouraging your defensive backs in particular to take a chance and not giving up a big play? Is there how do you walk that line if you're a defensive back?
Well, I think it's technique. I think if you can get both hands on the ball, then you definitely want to go and try to make the play and make the interception. If you can only reach it with one hand, then rather than trying to make the one-handed interception, you really are, the percentage play is to break the pass up with that hand and secure the tackle with your offhand. And we work on those drills on a weekly basis to try to help coach that. But certainly any time we have an opportunity to play the ball as a receiver would with both hands and go up and get it, then that's what we want to do. But that's not always the defender's opportunity. They're not thrown to us. They're trying to throw to somebody else. So if we can get close enough where we can dislodge the ball or hit the ball, then we want to make sure that we secure the tackle and don't end up, as you say, turn it into a big play because we've gambled on an interception and don't quite make the play, and then there's nobody behind us.
Steve Diossi question. Any updates on Mankin?
What?
I read your mind. Sorry.
You passed it off to him?
Oh, I did.
He gave me the Vulcan mind meld.
That's right.
Yeah. Huh? No.
At least you're consistent with the answer.
I was going to say, that was the same answer you got last week.
That's not true. I get three words out of it instead of just one. Yeah. So.
No, go away.
I've heard a lot. Brady said it. I've heard you say it about Danny Woodhead and how quickly he picked up the system and what he had to do. And it's kind of a complicated – his position is more complicated than maybe we think it is and what he has to do because he has to do so many different things. Is he really unusual? Can you bring in a guy like that and make him so active early on in the process if he doesn't pick everything up and know everything he's supposed to do?
Well, it's hard. There's no way to get away from it at the running back position. You're either running the ball and involved in the blocking schemes and reading blocks and so forth and the ball handling, or you're involved in the passing game, which includes either protections or hots and route adjustments and different route depths and different route patterns based on the coverage and different plays that are called. So it's a lot to learn, and of course the sub-defensive pass protections are a lot more difficult than the regular ones, than the 3-4 or the 4-3 looks when you get into sub-defenses and you get 5-6 defensive backs or one defensive lineman and 4 or 5, 6 linebackers, whatever it is, running around in there with a bunch of DBs. It's hard to sort out and figure out exactly who's who. We have our rules and all that, but it's just less obvious than a 3-4 or 4-3 look. So sub-blitz pickup for a running back is challenging, but Danny got that very quickly, picked it up, and has done a good job with it, both in practice and in the games.
So it gives you the comfort level that you can use him in a lot of different situations early on, because he got here and you were using him right away.
Right. Well, the one thing that really scares you is to put in a player in pass protection that makes a mistake and then
kills
ends up getting a quarterback, right, getting strip sacked or taking a big loss or whatever. So that's an important part. It's not just handing on the ball and knowing where to run. That's kind of the easy part of it, but that's from an assignment standpoint, that's the easier part. It's the route adjustments. It's the hot if you're out in a pattern and a guy blitzes and you have to break the route out and the quarterback break the route off and the quarterback's counting on you to do that and all those things. That's really the hard part of the passing game, and for a back to come in and learn all the protections, learn all the routes, the adjustments, the hots, and so forth is tough. But he did a great job of it.
Can a guy that size hold up to a Diossi blitzing linebacker, a Clydesdale?
Well, I think that that's kind of the matchup you have. I mean, defensively, first of all, I don't think his size is much different than Kevin Faulks. Yeah. I think they're similar, but the problem for the defense is you can put a bigger guy blitzing on him if you can get that matchup, but then that same guy also has to cover him. And, Danny's got pretty good experience as a wide receiver, and so he has that kind of speed, that kind of quickness that'd be hard for a lot of linebackers to match up on. So as Kevin did, most of Kevin's blitz pickups, not all of them, but a lot of his ended up being against defensive backs because that was more the player he was matched up on. And when they had linebackers on him, then, you know, that was a mismatch in our favor in terms of the passing, the pass route running and the ability of that guy to cover Kevin, whereas in blitz pickup, the advantage probably went a little bit to the bigger player. But, you know, I think Kevin did a good job of handling that, and I think Danny has too, and the opportunities he's had to step up and pick up the guys that are blitzing, even though they're a little bigger than him. You know, he's definitely done a solid job on it. So
he seems so similar to Falk. Is he faster than Falk? I mean, they're both really quick, but you know, Kevin was a shifty runner.
Very shifty.
And Woodhead looks a little bit faster.
He might be. Yeah, he might be.
How much is this going to increase his role the more comfortable he gets with what's going on?
Well, I don't know. He's been pretty involved in everything so far. So I think that myself, the offensive coaches, Tom, the offensive players, I think they're comfortable with him in there, whatever he's asked to do, whether it's run the ball, pick up, or go out for a pass route. I think he's comfortable in doing it, and we all have confidence in him doing it.
Bill, excuse me while I backtrack just for a second. Talking about the trade, something I wanted to ask, I forgot.
Sure.
Was Brady consulted at all, or does he have to be for a trade of this magnitude?
No.
Okay. Right.
Did he know about it prior?
You have to ask Tom. Huh?
I keep calling him, but he won't call me back. I don't know what's wrong. How do you recognize my number?
We all do, Fred.
Lost a practice squad player today in Ratliff, who ends up getting picked up by the Cleveland Browns. Now, is that just
the rat picked him up?
Is that just part of the game? You know that eventually you're going to lose some of these guys if they can make a roster somewhere else.
Right. Well, it's just kind of the reverse of the Clayton situation,
yes,
where we
right.
picked up Clayton from them as a running back. We got hit with a couple injuries at that position. They got hit, I guess, with a couple injuries at the quarterback spot, and wanted to bring back somebody they knew and had a little background with. So, you know, I think that's fairly common with practice squad players that if there's an opportunity for them to play somewhere else, then, you know, they'll consider it, not necessarily make that move, depending on what the circumstances are in the situation and all the things that surround it. But it's definitely a possibility. That's what practice squad players are. They're actually free agents that can be with any team. And you know, if the team has a need for somebody, then they can go after those guys.
All right, time right now for the coach's question of the week, brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Compare new and used cars side by side at AutoTrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace and proud partner of Patriots football. It's my turn, so I'll throw this one out. You've got to answer this one because we can't figure it out.
Okay.
We've watched 5 weeks of football now in the NFL. A year ago, after week five, there were 5 undefeated teams. This year, there are 0. Just when you think you have an idea of what might be going on with a certain team, you watch them the next week, and it's totally different. What's going on? Is this year different than you've seen in the past, or is it just a typical NFL? You have no bleeping clue of what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate, Glenn. It's tough. It's every team's good. There are a lot of good competitive teams, coaches, players out there. Everybody's got them. And if you don't play well each week, you're going to come up short. I don't care who it's against. And I think that teams are – I mean, that's what the system is. That's what the NFL system's about, between free agency and the draft and a salary cap and all those kind of things. It's structured so that the good teams have a hard time getting better, and the teams that aren't as good have an opportunity to catch up. And so that keeps that equilibrium right there it's a pretty fine line. And so it doesn't surprise me. And I mean, I know if we don't play well and coach well and do a good job, prepare well every week, that we're going to be in trouble. I don't care who we play.
Yeah, undrafted rookie quarterbacks go out there and have big games mm-hmm. against defending champions. I mean, it seems to be bizarre. It's that final line, talent-wise, that a couple of players or a couple of decisions can skew it that much. Huh?
Kansas City
or a couple
yesterday.
Of plays. Just mm-hmm. a couple of plays, a turnover, a drop ball, a missed block, a penalty, anything, you know, the games are so competitive and so close that one little thing can make a difference, a block kick. You know, you just go right down the line. You never know when those plays are going to come. They could be the first play. They could be the last play. They could be, you know, like the Dallas-Washington game opening week with 10 seconds to go in the half or whatever it is. Get stripped, scoop it up, run it in for a touchdown, and those end up being the winning points for Washington in that game. So it's just – it could be any time. And those plays, you just got to – really do a good job of your execution and not giving your opponents extra opportunities and penalties and turnovers, all those little things, which are huge things in a game that's just so close and so competitive. So kickers making kicks on the last play of the game and last play of the half. And I mean, it seems like there's a couple of those every single week. Comes down to the last play, last kick, last possession. And that's the NFL. That's what makes it great.
And in some cases, like the Miami game, the first 5 or 6 minutes of that second half, that was the game. That seemed to be the difference in the game.
Well, I think if you look at most of the games in this league, 2 or 3 plays, and you never know when they're going to occur, but 2 or 3 plays really have a big impact on the game, and you just don't know when they're going to happen.
Amazing. One other, since he brought up the trade, and we've had a lot of people calling up and saying, why didn't the Patriots get a player in return? And you don't seem to see trades that are made during the season where there's anything but draft picks brought in return. What's the reason for that?
Probably that it's just hard to find that equal trade, that a team wants to acquire a player and also give up a player of comparable value that the other team wants and needs at that particular position, where it just is a perfect fit. You need a second baseman, I need a shortstop, both players are about equal, we have an extra and we swap them out, great. But it just doesn't seem to, it's harder to make that work in football for some reason. I don't know, you look at other sports and you see more player for player trades than you see in the National Football League.
Do you try and get a player for Moss, or was that ever a consideration, or just the draft?
No, that wasn't part of the consideration. I'm not saying we would have ruled it out, but as it turned out, we did what we felt like was best, and just going forward, we'll continue to do that.
All right, Bill, good luck against Baltimore on Sunday. We'll see you back here on Monday. Have a good week.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks,
Coach.
Bill Belichick right here on the Big Show. Quick break, and we're right back here in Foxborough.